Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips. And today I have an offering for you, something practical. In these recordings, sometimes we talk about something more biblically, theological in some senses, other times more practical. And today it's a practical offering that I found in a book I've been reading in preparation for an essay I'm writing for my master's. And the book is called, let me get it here, Preparing Sunday Dinner, A Collaborative Approach to Worship and Preaching. So preparing Sunday dinner, not literally food you eat, but the idea of hosting a time together for a number of people to worship God together. So a collaborative approach. That's the whole tenor of the book. And it's a very interesting book and well worth reading. It's by a set of different authors, but the section I'm giving you here is by Marlene Kropff, if I'm saying that correctly. And it's from the appendices of the book. And there are a number there giving practical suggestions as to how to prepare preaching and other aspects of worship. And this particular section I want to pass on to you here is what they're calling an initial theological reading of a biblical text. An initial theological reading of a biblical text. In other words, you've got your text. Let's say it is, for me, the Sunday, John chapter 7. I've just got a short passage there from 37 to 39. Some of these suggestions will work here, some won't. But that doesn't matter. Any forms of ways we approach the text don't work for all texts. But nonetheless, there are principles there that are applicable to most texts. And so as I come to this passage, I'm asking myself some questions, or rather the book has some suggestions for questions we can ask and areas of focus. So let me share these with you briefly, and then you can tell me whether you think these are helpful. Perhaps try them out the next time you're preparing a lesson. So the first thing, which I very much like, the first thing is God in the text. What's God doing in the text itself? What's God up to in the passage you're looking at? Secondly, God behind the text. What's God doing behind the text in the larger events? So in other words, what's God doing in the large events surrounding what's happening here with Jesus at the temple at the time of the festival? There's the specific passage, verses there, 37 to 39 of John 7. But then there's the rest of chapter 7. Not so much just the whole context, but what's God doing in that place and time? Third, question is around judgment. What is God's judgment in the passage? Is there a law? Is there condemnation? Is there identification of human failing? What kind of judgment might there be in the particular passage? The fourth thing to look at is change. What change is demanded of humanity? In this passage, Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, rivers of living water will flow from you. So there's a change there to believe. It's incumbent upon the people responding to this passage to believe. Fifthly, hope. What is the hope in the passage? Is there grace? Is there good news? Is there empowerment of some kind? There is hope in this passage. The Spirit is going to be given in the future. Sixthly, empowerment in the text. How does the text itself indicate what God does to enable change? So where's the empowerment coming from? How's that working? Seventhly, empowerment beyond the text. What's God doing in the larger story to which this text belongs? What is God doing in Christ? You could ask that question in the Gospel of John. Eighthly, identity. What does this text tell us about who we are and who God is? Who are we and who is God? Looking through Christ here, in my context. Number nine is belief. What are we asked to believe? Well, believe in me is what Christ says here. So we're being asked to believe in him and trust in him that this will be a reality, that the streams of living water will flow. And tenthly, action. What is God instructing and therefore enabling us to do? And 11th, very importantly, Christology. What does the cross and the resurrection say to Christians concerning themes raised in this text? This is pre-cross and resurrection. Now looking back at it from the perspective of post-cross and resurrection, how does that inform what I'm reading here about the Spirit having been given in this particular case right here in verse 39? So 11 areas of focus and question to ask about regarding what God is up to. This is taken, by the way, these ideas from Paul Scott Wilson's The Practice of Preaching, which you may also want to look up. So those are some thoughts there as to a way of approaching a text with these areas of focus and these questions that follow on, 11 areas of focus with questions. What do you think about this? Might you try this for your next sermon or lesson? I'd like to know how you get on, so drop me a line. You can send me an email, malcolm@malcolmcox.org, or you can visit the website, leave a message there, malcolmcox.org. If you know anybody that might benefit from this, please pass the link on. If you have any thoughts, leave a comment wherever you hear or see this recording, because we learn best when we're learning in community. And if you'd like my free booklet on spiritual disciplines, then sign up for my newsletter at the website. Until the next time, keep calm and carry on teaching. Take care and God bless.